Well, good evening. It sure was nice to chant in English. It's the first time I've heard it since I went away. And you're a very quick read, as we say in the theater. You learned that quickly, Claire. Thank you for that. Nice. Well, it was a fine 3 weeks, I must say. I wish you all could have been there. It was so cool. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place. And it really snowed this year. It snowed on Christmas Day, so it filled in all the ski marks and all the big boot marks and everything. It just filled it up until it was perfect. Just these curling, voluptuous hills of snow with the jagged mountains up above. Just gorgeous. There were 22 people who sat the sesshin, the five-day sesshin, who came from all over Germany and all over Austria, all frazzled from work and the holidays and everything. They just were like this when they got there. And slowly, slowly, sitting and walking and taking hikes in the snow. And by the time we had our midnight bonfire on the 31st, everybody was laughing and having a wonderful time. Vanya came, and he created hot air balloons to launch at midnight. He had little paper balloons, and there was a blue one, a red one, and a yellow one, I think. And they're just about this big, and they're open at the bottom, and there's a little structure that holds a burner. I think it's one of those little, maybe it's a candle. It's enough heat to warm it up, and you launch it, and the wind carries it on up higher and higher until it disappears in the stars. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And then after they all went away, we had a day and a half of rest, sort of, getting ready for the next group. And then we had 10 people from all over Germany and Austria who came for a practice period. And we discussed Uji every afternoon, which was a totally new subject for them and really interesting. And we had way-seeking mind talks in the morning, and otherwise total silence until dinner time. And then everybody could talk. So dinner time was very fun. There were a lot of witty and charming people there, and so we had all this amazing combination of lots and lots of sitting and study, and also just not exactly social. I guess you could say a Dharma social or something like that, where it's still pretty serious, but also can be pretty funny, too. So they're all interested in floating Zendo. They think floating Zendo is really a great name for us, and a lot of them are planning to come next year when we celebrate Koban's 10th anniversary, so maybe you'll get to meet some of them. So while I was there, I looked through their library and found a book by Deshi Maru, the Japanese teacher who became the bishop of Europe, he was stationed in France, but he was the bishop of the Soto bishop of all of Europe, and had trained with Kodo Sawaki at the same time that Koban sat with Kodo Sawaki, so Koban knew him. And he has had written several, he had given several talks, several sets of talks, one on the Sando Kai, which I discovered last year, year before last, I guess, and translated for myself. And this year I discovered that he'd written one on the precious mirror, which is what we're going to study. So I got out my little German dictionary, and during my free time the first week, I took notes. I didn't try to translate it. That takes much too much time, and a computer with a real dictionary. But I got enough out of it that I think it will be helpful with us when we discuss it. I haven't done a whole lot more about it, except try to see what material I have, which is even less than I thought it was. I do have the original book in which I found it. Koban sent it to me just after my Jukai. He said, you should really look at this book and read The Precious Mirror. And he said, don't try to figure it out, but just spend time with it. So I'm going to recommend for you all to do that this coming week. We have copies for you that you can take home with you. And peruse and enjoy without trying to figure it out. It's a poem, so it's like Uji. It's mysterious. It doesn't tell you something. It evokes something. So it means you listen with your belly and your heart and try to not get caught up in thinking about it too much. I thought I'd read it to you. It's very short. This is such an old book. It's just... but it's still alive and well. Such is the esoteric Dharma inherited from Buddhas and patriarchs. Now that you have received it, you should guard it carefully. Like snow in a silver bowl, an egret in the moonlight, all species which are not uniform can be distinguished when assembled. Though its aim lies beyond all words, it is responsive to inquiring seekers. To stray from it produces pitfalls. To deviate leads to false thinking. Rejection and acceptance are both wrong, for it is like a mass of fire. Elegantly to express it will only make it seem impure. It shines in the dead of night, but does not appear at dawn. Being a pattern for the living, its function saves them from all miseries. Though not of the worldly plane, it is not altogether dumb. It is like looking in a precious mirror in which you see your own reflection. You are not what it is, but it is what you are. Like a babe born in the world complete with all five characteristics, it neither goes nor comes, arises not nor stays, and when words are stammered about the is and is not, they will lead to no result through the inefficiency of speech. The six lines of the Chi Lung hexagram, this is the I Ching, representing the intermutable real and seeming, are interlaid to establish a triple basis, which transforms into five positions. They taste like five flavored herbs and look like a thunderbolt. The real is wonderfully inclusive. Both it and the seeming should be brought out. For guest and host are intermutable by direct pointing and expedient teaching. Devotion to it will earn blessings. On no account should it be offended. Wonderful is the eternal reality beyond delusion and enlightenment. With concurrent cause and time prevailing, it will appear both bright and still. Reduced in size, it is all-pervasive. If extended, it is beyond location and direction. A slight deviation from it destroys the perfect harmony. Since there are instant and gradual aptitudes, our sect sets up five different phases. The sect's division so established is nothing but its mode of teaching. When the sect is known and its phase is reached, true eternity emerges in an endless flow. Still without, it moves within like a tethered colt and hidden rat. This is what saddened saints of old. You should act as a bestower of the Dharma and follow perverted thoughts, turning them upside down. When inverted views have been wiped out, the quest will make up your mind. To be in accord with the ancient path, just look back to the olden times, when the Buddha, before he won enlightenment, contemplated the tree of wisdom for 10 aeons, like a tiger that leaves behind a portion of its prey, and a horse indifferent to a left hind leg that's white. There are those of low spirituality who cannot forsake their cherished clingings, while others are of quick propensities, like agile cats and bullocks white. You should, like Bowman E., use skill to hit the target 100 feet away. It is the arrow's head that flies straight, and not the bowman's skill. When the wooden man sings his song, and the stone girl moves to dance, there is no room to feel and know, to think or to consider. A minister should serve his prince, and a son obey his father. Disobedience to father is neglect of filial piety, and refusal to serve the prince is lack of loyalty. Keep your conduct hidden and your function secret, appearing as a stupid and vulgar man. If you thus can act without interruption, this is called the final host in host. Got it? It addresses, and there are lots of footnotes in here, which will be helpful as we go through here. And it has, which I think I'll copy it, but warn you right now that Coben always warned us against getting too caught up in these kinds of things. It's very interesting, and it was used for a long time in a certain era in China as a kind of model for a progression of states of mind in practice, which isn't really at all accurate. It isn't really the way it happens at all. And it can be, it can get in the way if we start thinking, oh, well, I guess I'm in this place and now I should get in this place, so then I should get ambitious and try to make something happen, which never works, ever. So, but on the other hand, it's interesting. The whole concept of host and guest, which has many levels of meaning, are very important for us. Sometimes we act as host to our friend at the door or to our cat or to our neighbor, and sometimes we act as guest. It depends on the relationship and the situation. So we can be host to the same person as we are guest to the same person another time. And to recognize that is a wonderful way of relating to people and to things. We host things, and we are guests to things. We become the guest of a beautiful room like this. We're all guests here. And guests, of course, are very respectful and very grateful. It's a very realistic way of relating to things, everything. So that's a pretty basic part of this. So, Donalyn, did you make copies? It's a different version, and it may be more accurate because this was done a long time ago, and there's been a lot of scholarship since. But this is pretty... This is 71.
San Francisco Zen Center's chant book.
Oh, right. That's what you said. Yeah.
And then
well, it's not that different, is it?
Yeah. This one is from
Dan's.
Mm-hmm. Looked, and it's the same one that the Soto Shoe has in there.
Oh, I have that.
So I did make copies of this too. I don't know if I'm going to keep it for another time or go ahead.
No, let's do the whole thing. Thank you.
It's a take on different words, but the essence is very much the same. I made this copy for you. I found this from Shing. And I found that other translation.
Oh, thank you. You are a great resource. So as you imagine, you can imagine, this is about Zazen. So keep that in mind, even though it sounds like a lot of things are happening, with horses and rats and arrows being shot. It's pretty exciting, but it's really about Zazen. Oh, it's not totally separate at all, but it's trying to describe for us some aspects of Zazen practice, to recognize what we see when we sit, what we experience. I mean, there are many experiences, and it's to confirm our experience, or to encourage us to sit, so to say there are experiences if you sit, if you haven't had them. And it's certainly an encouragement. I especially like this encouragement to act like a fool, like an idiot. I think that's excellent advice. Don't need to go any farther than that. Right. So are there questions about this?
Yes, I have a question. So this is what we're studying. I was curious how you want to break it up. How do we want to study?
Good question. Well, I'd like to talk about where it comes from a little bit first. It comes from the year 800 something, so it's pretty old. And I thought I'd talk about that first. And then maybe well, we could do it the way we did the third patriarch, which is take them phrase by phrase. Because this is set up in the same way in, it looks like two sentences at a time that say something and then go on to say something else. It depends on how long you want to spend with this. Also, I mean, we could go through it line by line and word for word, but I'm not sure that would be so helpful. Let me take a look at it and figure out what to do. I haven't had a chance to really think about it. I tried to memorize this when I first encountered it. It's been so long, I don't remember it anymore. But its meanings keep sneaking out as you read it. It begins to kind of tell you something without your having to analyze it too much. I don't want to analyze it very much, but if we all give it some attention and let those meanings come to us, and we can talk about it a bit as we go. It has beautiful images, the silver bowl filled with snow, and the heron in the moonlight. It's lovely. Yeah.
This is, I came to Zen through poetry. It's the only way that I came to it. And this is a type of song or poem that got me here. It was wanting to understand more of these illusions or the illusions of what is kind of like, you know, twofold. The Asian literature brought me to it, and then the Asian literature defined or helped describe some of the Zen poems. My limited understanding is that a lot of these, you know, the archer and the stone man, and these are all from the folk tales that were of the time, I believe. So I kind of had this flash. It'd be like us studying something with, you know, popular songs right now, or, you know, politics was going on. It'd be all inserted in there, you know, to help us relate or appreciate Zazen.
Maybe we should write our own version.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, this is really old. It's very old. I'm not sure even the Chinese would recognize some of the mythology and other folk tales in it.
Yeah.
Kind of enduring, daring and enduring.
So it was written in Chinese? Is that the
original? Yes. Yes. Yeah, old Chinese from 800, so that was not... But these translations agree a lot better than the Dogen translations do, so that's a comfort. It's pretty much the same. I'm not sure I have the right time. Does anybody have the time?
5 to 8.
Okay, I am correct, except mine says 5 till 7, and that means 7 o'clock in the morning. I just got back last night, so I'm still a little off. Part of me is over Hudson's Bay somewhere.